Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome back. Fascinating interviews today. I'm so happy to introduce our next guest. He is Gene Wright of North Star Consulting, and we're going to talk about how their firm helps small and mid-sized business owners change to become more successful. They work with high-growth businesses, and the ability to scale profitably is often a challenge only exceeded by the need for growth capital. So at North Star Consulting, they help their clients build the foundation for profitable growth and then assist them in finding growth capital sources. We're going to talk about how successful business owners attract growth capital. Gene, welcome to the show, and thanks very much for joining us today.
Bill, it's a real honor to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Hey, I want to get right into this topic. It's fascinating. But let's first talk a little bit about you and North Star Consulting. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you got started with North Star and what you do.
Sure. Well, I've been in the consulting business since the mid-90s. I worked with Anderson Consulting. I was senior executive in the worldwide global retail and consumer products practice, but prior to that, I was a warehouse club pioneer. I was one of the leading executives who brought the warehouse club concept to the U.S. So having started a business from scratch, we created a pretty interesting and large channel of distribution over the years, and that was sort of the bona fides that got me into Accenture. For the last 5 years or so, my focus has been more with mid-cap and smaller-sized businesses with a real desire to bring the same excellence and expertise to those guys and the smaller organizations that we did to Fortune 100 companies.
So you've worked with all sizes of companies and different types of concepts. And what types and sizes of businesses do you work with now?
Well, now we try to stay close to our knitting. We're business to consumer. Just about every business has, if they have an end consumer as a customer, they are kind of in our focus area. But it's also interesting to work with small niche consumer products companies who are taking products to market and don't necessarily have the experience and exposure on how to market and successfully place their products in large retail organizations.
Now, these companies rely on capital, and especially if they're in a growing economy, they need the capital to grow, and it's been tough for them lately. So what are some of the major challenges that business owners are facing in attracting growth capital, Gene?
Well, I think the major – that's a great question, and the answer is usually pretty surprising. I think that to attract growth capital, they oftentimes don't think about what the investor requires. So it's one thing to say, look, I need $500,000 to grow my business and see how great it is, and I'm very enthusiastic about what I've accomplished so far. But when I take that $500,000, what does that investor expect? So our perspective is to talk through the returns on capital that investors look for and how to best position their company to attract it by understanding, again, what the investor requires.
So it's really thinking through what your use of capital is going to be to satisfy that investor's need, but also to get maximum to tell a great story, first of all, about why you need the capital. I mean, that's a prerequisite, but really think through the deployment of that capital, it sounds like.
And also, even more important than that, Bill, is the first question our investors ask our clients is, how am I going to get my money back? because I'm not marrying you. I'm not going to join your board. I'm not part of your family. Capital is my asset, many times my only asset, and so I'm very concerned about how I'm going to get it back. And usually that leads us directly into, you know, the financial projections of the company, and is the growth trajectory believable? Is it attainable? And most importantly, can I get out of this investment in the time horizon that I want to, which is generally 3 to 5 years?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, when you work with, let's say your wide customer experience, and you come into somebody, are their growth projections reasonable?
Many times they're not, because they haven't thought out the assumptions well enough. Most investors, and we're big believers in the fact that if you get your growth assumptions right in your financial model, or all your assumptions right in your financial model, not necessarily growth, that the rest is just a mathematical extension. So, for instance, if we're looking at a 5% growth trajectory, we want to really understand that the marketing plan is realistic enough to support a 5% growth trajectory, and the spend to get that is reasonable. So you will look at the assumptions that the business owner has made to determine whether or not those projections are realistic or not.
Well, as we all know that from our end of the spectrum, most business owners think their business is worth about 3 times what it's really worth. So it wouldn't be surprising to find out that they've started with a hyper, you know, maybe too large of a growth assumption. We're entrepreneurs. So what attributes do successful business owners possess?
Well, I think that we're really intrigued by successful business owners that show a willingness to change. You know, again, without change, you're likely to stay on the same trajectory that your business is on, or you're successful to a point and then you hit a glass ceiling. But we look at that open-mindedness, the willingness to partner, the idea that, hey, we don't know everything. You know, we draw a corollary in business with our clients to world-class athletes who constantly have mentors and coaches, whether it's nutrition or strength or training or psychology. Most world-class athletes really depend on coaches to get them to that next level. And we see a very interesting sort of corollary with our best clients, who have that same need to get better, and they realize that they need help to do it. So that's probably first and foremost. Secondarily, I would say that they're a great innovator. That they have a great idea. They've solved a problem that is worth commercialization. Mm-hmm. They're sometimes they have great people on the team. So there's not any set formula, but again, the willingness to change and be coachable is probably the one attribute we look for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, they have to be coachable. How soon before someone is seeking capital should they talk with someone like you? I mean, is it the sooner the better to start getting into shape? I would liken it to, let's say, a boxing match where the boxer doesn't start working out the day before the match.
Everybody's different, Bill, and where they look for clients in which sector. For us, it's very important that you have a business, and by that means you have revenues. Somebody has bought your product or service. You have a bank account, obviously, and you're growing revenues. To us, that means you're fully committed. You know that this isn't a part-time venture. You're not a hobbyist. You're really interested in growing your revenue and providing for your family, or providing for other employees that you may have on board or hope to hire. So we look for companies that are in revenue and already have a proven model.
Makes sense. So this is a real venture and it's really going to happen. But I guess what I was getting at was, is there an optimum time that someone should start preparing to be attractive to more attractive to a lender? In other words, should they get in touch with someone 6 months before they want to go, or do they just go find out what they can get turned down and then come to you? I mean, how does it usually work?
It usually works where they go get turned down and then come to us because they're not really prepared, and that's why they get turned down. It takes us about – but you're right. Your timing is generally right. It's about 6 months from the time that we begin to work with them on their financial plan, their marketing strategy, their overall business plan to make it more attractive not only to outside capital but to the internal stakeholders of the business as well. And then there's a lot of options that we take clients through. There's the option of debt. There's the option of equity. We use crowdfunding in many instances with clients that haven't been in business long enough to qualify for a traditional bank loan, but they may have a great concept that people in the community want to support via a crowdfunding campaign for a particular project. So that helps them raise capital. And also, if we're able to raise some initial funding through crowdfunding, that carries a lot of influence with investors because they view that as the concept being more or less qualified.
Right. Consumers have kind of put a stamp of approval on it because they're willing to put some of their money into it. Now, let's talk about that. So that's a little bit of crowdfunding is here to stay. What other changes should business owners be expecting or prepare for in the next 5 years, let's say?
I would say in the next 5 years, they should really be preparing for the speed of change to accelerate. You know, we're living in a world where seven years ago, there wasn't an iPhone. And when you look at that the speed of technological change and the ability that technology has to create virtual communities, customers, allow businesses to operate in multiple channels, it almost makes the business opportunity boundaryless. So we talk about that in the sense that if you think the world's moving quickly now, within 5 years, if you have a website, you're probably going to have a global customer. And it really sort of changes the paradigm in terms of how they think and how they prepare their business going forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially in that business-to-consumer marketplace, your consumer is everywhere, anywhere, any time of day, and you need to be prepared to serve them on a nonstop kind of a basis, right? That's a big change.
That's a big change, and one of the things that we work with is something we call channel management, where some clients that we have are store-based, and they do a wonderful job in the local community. And the challenge then becomes is how do we grow a web presence? How do we create another channel and deliver that consistent consumer or customer expectation across all the different channels they may operate in?
So there's a lot to think about in this space. When you're thinking about growing, you need to position yourself for that growth, attract the capital, and then think about how you're going to deploy that capital effectively. Gene, you've done an excellent job summarizing all of those points. How do our listeners get in touch with you to find out more about how you can help them?
Well, the smoothest way is our website, quickest, easiest, most visible, and that is www.nstarconsulting.biz. That's N-S-T-A-R, consulting.biz.
And when they go to your website, would they find some information about some of these, you know, white papers or things like that, as well as your contact info?
Absolutely. We've got our website's designed by our service offerings, and they can learn a lot through our white papers that are there and our points of view around crowdfunding, venture equity, channel management, and financial modeling.
So listeners, here's an idea for you. Go to nstarconsulting.biz, look around, poke around, find out what they have, find out how they can help you at North Star Consulting to build a foundation for profitable growth and then find the growth capital. It goes hand in hand and makes a lot of sense. Gene Wright, thanks very much for joining us today. I hope we can talk again in the future and go deeper on some of these topics because I think they're fascinating.
Bill, it's my pleasure. Thanks very much.
We'll take a short break and we'll be right back after this, so please stay tuned.
Does thinking about what will happen to your business if you're gone keep you awake at night? Will you get the price you need from your business to carry you through retirement? The BEI Network of Exit Planning Professionals is the world's leading advisor network with the power to help business owners transition out of business on their own timeline and terms. Ask your most trusted advisor to create a BEI plan for you or visit us at exitplanning.com. That's exitplanning.com.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.